Before I get started, I want to make a couple of quick points. Again, let's be civil. I have a couple of things that I want to point out that the commissioners have. We had a meeting last Saturday where we took specific comments from a number of folks that are here. We went to the Laverne Avenue Neighborhood Watch meeting and presented this plan to them. I got written comments from 15 or 16 households that were represented. You guys have a packet that has copies of those exact comments. Right? And there's a two-page summary on the front. It makes it a little bit easier to read. I will note that there were three specific alternative parking suggestions that were made. One was to develop a comprehensive parking utilization plan to better utilize all available parking resources, I believe in public and private. The plan would open up access to all available parking when not in specific business or commercial use. For example, open up all the bank parking lots when the banks are closed.
Excuse me, could you speak up?
Yeah.
Sure, I'm sorry. I thought I had a pretty loud voice, but I will try again.
There's too much outside noise.
Okay. The second council district did something similar to this, where they take all the available parking and they made sort of a permit parking system, got private and public parking lots available to residents to use at night. We certainly could look at that, and I think that's a good idea. So I will plan to agendize that in the future. Another idea was to develop an employee customer offsite parking lot with shuttles to and from 2nd Street. They indicated we could use the beach lots, the marina lots, the church lot, and the marine stadium lots. We have looked at this in the past. There are some significant hurdles to getting it done. Our bus pass program creates a bit of that because the marina lot over on by the bridge is open and free, and the bus goes right by it. So an employee could park there and take the bus for free. Unfortunately, there's not many doing that. But I think we could look at that again and see if we can't get around some of those hurdles and see what happens.
Can I just say something?
Sure.
On the number one you were talking about, didn't Suji Lowenthal's office and everything together with the city? And
when I said Council District 2, that's Suji.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Right.
Okay.
And the last item was to construct a parking structure over the existing surface lots to better utilize existing parking areas and spaces, create more parking in or over the existing parking lots. I believe they're looking specifically at the Rite Aid, Panama Joe's parking lot area. There are some new technologies that allow stack parking. They're not really there yet, but those may be an alternative, and we certainly can look at those as well. Having said that, I think all of those ideas are options that could help, but I don't believe there's one single solution. Okay, so commissioners, you have those comments. In addition, I believe we got a letter from a neighbor on the south side of Laverne at 183. I think you guys have had a chance to read that. I'm going to open it up to public comment now, and then we can discuss this when public comment closes. We have to be out of here by 10:15. In fact, I have to shut the meeting down. I'm not 10:15. Quarter to 11, so 10:45. We need to shut the meeting down a little bit before that so we can put the chairs up for the children's event at 11. So I'm going to allow public comment at least until 10 o'clock. That's 35 minutes. And we'll see where we are then. I want to make sure I allow some time for us to discuss it. Again, you'll have 3 minutes to talk to the commission about this idea. Please keep it civil. With that, commissioners, without objection, I'll open this to public comment. Okay. You know what? Let's do this, because I think a lot of you will want to come up. If you want to speak, why don't you come up next to Bill Smith here and stand, and then we'll just take you one at a time. Terry, why don't we start with you? Remember, please, when you come to the podium, please state your name. If you live on Laverne Avenue, I'd like to know that, so we make sure that we give your comments. name's Terrence Anderson. I'm president of the Belmont Shore Residents Association, and I'm here to speak on behalf of the residents. There's a long history of the parking commissioners trying to take over shore homes. It started in 1989, and at that time, the residents in Belmont Shore prepared a petition, had all of these signatures to change the local coastal plan so that the city could not take the lots next to the business alleys, the existing lots. That was in 1989. There was another attempt in 1991 to use the Project for Public Spaces. Oh, excuse me. There was a Belmont Shore parking study in 1990. This is available on PDF for anyone who wants it, that gave recommendations on how to alleviate the parking problem. Use the beach parking lots, provide shuttles, provide employee incentives, etc. By the way, the employee bus program was a result of a resident's recommendation to the parking commission. It was not their thought. So none of these have been implemented. None of the proposals in this have been implemented. The reason the parking commission doesn't want to use the beach lots is that they don't get any revenue from it. The parking commission also tried to take over the tot lot a number of years back to remove the tot lot and put in parking spaces. Any parking spaces created by the parking commission will have meters. Okay, so in 1991, there was a petition signed by 20 to 32 owners of residential properties to Doug Drummond, the councilman at that time, stating that they don't want their lots taken, they don't want their homes taken, and if they live next door to those homes, they don't want those taken. So, but the most telling thing is a 2002 article in the Press-Telegram, quoting Chairman LaBeer, said, whose homes are among 20 identified as potential future parking north and south of 2nd Street, said the area's commercial property owners need the parking to ensure shopping convenience.
You're misquoting. I wasn't on the commission in 2002.
Well, this is what it's saying.
It's his father.
I'm sorry. It's Bud LaBeer. Excuse me. I beg your pardon. We can't continue to expand the commercial property without parking. The residents don't want the commercial properties expanded on 2nd Street. The commercial property owners, which are two of the representatives here, do, because they can charge more money for their properties. Harry, this is not a resident required desired option.
Thank you.
Please vote against it.
Ron Banner. I'm a resident of Belmont Shore, and I'm a member of the Belmont Shore Residents Association. I live at 183 Laverne Avenue, which is south of where they are.
Commissioners, for your reference, the letter you got is from Mr. Dr. Bates.
What I would encourage, this is real important for the Business Association and the Parking Commission and the city to work together with the Neighborhood Association and find a viable options to the parking. I don't think the acquiring of 8 spaces north of 2nd Street will resolve the problem, parking problem, and I believe that once that property is acquired by the city, there are 21 other houses that are being looked at for parking spaces. And I would encourage the Business Association and the Parking Commission to look at alternatives. On the second page of my letter, I wrote down 4 possible alternatives. Now, there was several of those options already talked about, but one that I think is really viable and would work for the Business Association as well as for the residents is to build a multi-story parking structure at the beginning of 2nd Street at the north end where the Wells Fargo Bank presently has a parking lot. That the Parking Commission could also charge in that structure And it would also not impact the neighborhood association to any significant degree. So I would encourage the commission to look at this as a viable option. I think the neighborhood association would accept it and would not fight the parking commission in any significant way. I do believe that one option for the residents, if you go ahead with this, is that the residents would, on each of the streets, would develop a plan to have parking permits on each of those streets, as they've done in Beverly Hills. And that would significantly impact the business association. So I really encourage you to work together. Now I'll read my letter. It is disturbing. I reside, as I said, I'm a member. It is disturbing to me and my neighbors to learn of a secrecy surrounding the recent actions to purchase and demolish a home on Laverne Avenue to provide a handful of parking spots. The purchase of the property was not discussed at any public meeting of the Parking Commission and was not made known to the BSRA by anyone from the city or the Parking Commission. It makes the neighbors wonder what other homes have been or will be targeted for demolition. Whose property is next? What are the secret plans are being drawn up? What will happen to our property values? I ask you not, why not work with the residents instead of behind their backs? A piecemeal approach of taking one house after another.
Your time's up.
Okay, you do have my letter.
Yep.
And I appreciate the, your consideration of working with us and maybe setting up a group consensus or a group of neighbors as well as some people in the parking commission system.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Tula, hold on one second. Okay. I want to clear up a couple things right now, because I don't want to hear a whole bunch of people say the same thing over and over again. Number one, this is the only lot we are looking at now. Even if we're not targeting a whole bunch of homes. Yes, way back when the Melrose was identified, they identified the 21, all 21 of the single-family homes along the alley, because they were deemed to be less expensive, therefore more efficient, a more efficient use of the dollars we had available. We're not targeting those. In fact, based on the bond financing we have available now, it's this home and just this home. There's not enough money to go beyond this home. So you can all relax that we're not targeting a whole bunch of other homes. It's just not true. It's BS that's being circulated out there to fan the flames of the fire. Secrecy. There's no big secret thing here. This house is on the market. Anybody could have bought it up. We wouldn't be having this meeting if we didn't. We wouldn't be able to have this meeting and have this discussion if the city didn't step out there and make an offer and essentially tie the property up so we could then go forward with this sort of discussion. I think how ridiculous it would be to have this meeting and then a planning commission meeting and then a city council meeting only to have the deal not go through because the city didn't have the property tied up. And if you look at the timing of it, the offer was not accepted until November 19th. That was 2 days before our November meeting. We couldn't agendize it. We didn't have enough time. We don't meet in December. So we couldn't put it on December. January, there were some contingency issues with the deal and some other concerns, and we decided it was more important to have the neighborhood group meeting first, and that way we present those findings to this commission, which we've done. So this thing has been agendized as soon as it was possible to have it agendized here. Okay? This process, whether we vote yes or no, will continue. Whether we vote yes or no, there will be other hearings, whether they be planning commission hearings on a CUP or city council hearings. So there will be ample opportunity for everybody to weigh in and talk about this. It is a completely transparent, completely open, non-secret issue. So please, let's stop the demagogue. Let's get away from that stuff. Let's just talk about the issues. How can we make parking better? All right. Tula, please.
Good morning. You guys already know me. I'm just the crowd. My name is Tula Tordonis, and I live along Soma. I've been in business 21 years here in the Shore. Started when I was very young. And as far as that being a secret, it wasn't a good secret because I heard about this when I was 21 about certain lots. I've got lots behind my salon. I'm on the alley. And I see the comings and the goings. I feel sorry for a lot of the homeowners that live on the alleys. I mentioned before this, and I don't think a lot of you understand. Whether you have parking or not, me as a business owner, I pay per employee to have parking, which doesn't exist. So every year, I don't know what it's gone up, $11.25, whatever it is, per employee. And people, we have a lot of across from Bill O'Rear's other building, and at night he's generous enough to let the neighbors actually use the lot after a certain time, which does create, opens up spaces for the residents that live on the street, which I like. And also, I know it seems really odd, but that house has been for sale, I don't know, 3-4 times in the course of me being there. Obviously, it's not desirable because they're behind Shore House Cafe, which is now empty. Trash trucks stay there, the delivery trucks stay there. I always felt sorry for the resident that lives there, and I've seen their drawings. I would actually make that lot even prettier. I would make another greenery on the side so the house facing the lot has something nice to look at. I think it's a pro, even 8 spaces, you may think it's weird, but people that live closest to Second Street have the most problems with parking on meter day, and those things, again, the lots don't start until 10 o'clock, so it does alleviate for neighbors and stuff a space to use while things are in motion, things are always moving. I know people hate change. I've been here, I was born and raised here, I grew up here with Long Beach State, I've used the shore, we ride our bikes, but the bottom line is a lot of your employees, you think it's ideal, they're not going to use the lots unless it's absolutely implicated or implemented that they do so. It's always been an ongoing struggle with the homeowners. I mean, I've been on my street longer than some of my homeowners. I know people one block each way. I reserve a space. When I leave at night, I actually open up a spot for people to live right near Second Street. I know it's a hard thing to swallow. There's no one clear answer to this problem. And again, the thing I keep hearing is you make it sound like the meters going in, there's money in their pockets, their commission. The money that goes in the meters goes back to Belmont Shore, which helps with the cleaning of the street and the conservation court and the other things that we have to make it a nice area. Again, like I said, I was born and raised here. I'm a business owner. I plan on being in business for another 20 years. I would like to see the street maintain its charm. There's other things I would love for them to do, from plants and flowers, clean the trash cans up, other things which I think are more important than one lot that everyone's going to get really upset about. And again, possibly what you're saying, people that own multiple cars that don't move their cars, those are also problems that impact the parking. So it's not just the business owners and their employees, it's also your next door neighbor that lives next to you. So kind of look at this as a big open thing. There has to be a few things in motion, I think, for this to work. And this is just a piece of the pie. So, you know, instead of getting all upset about it, you know, and I always tell my employees, they always want to complain, you're going to come with a complaint, you better come with some solutions or some suggestions to make it better. So, with that being said, you know, try to have, I mean, and again, it's a process, I understand that, but keep telling them. That's all you can do. Thank you.
Hey, before you step up, how many people intend to speak? Please raise your hand. Okay. Because we have got your written comments, I'm going to suggest that some of the folks that haven't weighed in on this.
Mine are a little bit different than what I was saying before. We talked about written comments. Which comments are you talking about?
The written comments that were given to us at Saturday's meeting. But go ahead. If you're going to say something different, go
ahead. Yes, I am.
Please state your name.
My name's David Newell, 208 Laverne, not armed.
Yes. That's
right. Rest in peace. And I obviously have an interest in this transaction you're trying to pull off because I live across the street and 2 doors down. Obviously, I'm speaking for myself from a personal standpoint of property value loss, looking over and seeing what I happen to see on every other parking lot on either side of the street, people congregating. Use of a lot are not well maintained, but those people on that street are going to have not only traffic, property value loss, but I'm only speaking just for them, but if this can happen to my little neck of the woods, it could happen to yours or anybody else's, it's a bad precedent. And I read this thing that the Belmont Shore business owners sent out yesterday to all the businessmen, which I thought was misleading, deceitful, and embarrassing to a resident, where he said, in the 25 years we've had Buffalo Roos, we've not bought one house. Not one house. Well, I'm a football coach. If I want a football play for 25 years, it doesn't work. I try a different play. Take that money, go someplace else. If this is not working, then take the money and try another approach. This house is not a beat-up piece of grunt house. It's remodeled, well done on the inside. The only reason why it's on the market is the owner died and did not leave a living trust. Therefore, it's in probate and it's got a mess and possibly overpriced. It's a nice house. I don't know why we tear down a perfectly nice house and put 8 spots in. According to Mr. Sheldrake, it says it's going to be 10 spots. It's 8. It's 8. And everything in Mr. Sheldrake wrote here is misconstrued and unfortunately very deceitful. There are other parking options. I think this is the wrong way to go, to spend $800,000 or close to that for 8 spots. When you know, everybody lives in an alley. This thing about some in the alley, everybody lives in an alley. It's either in front of you, on the side of you, or in back of you. So that's, to me, you know, there's other reasons why that house is not sold. But there's always been somebody in there. People live there for the right price. A good family can move in there. It's unfortunate, I find out, that the Business Association, the Belmont Shore Business Association, Parking Commission, even our city councilman, nobody seems to take the side of the residents. It almost seems like this is all stuck. Now, I don't know how many of you and the commissioners live in Belmont Shore. You live in Belmont Shore?
I've been in the Heights. I've been in the Shore.
Okay, you're on the Shore. You live in the Shore?
Yeah.
You live in the Shore?
Heights.
The Heights. That's not the Shore.
Yeah.
I know where you
are. Marina Pacific.
Okay. There, sometimes I feel we're just not represented by people from the Shore, or people from the outside dictate what happens in front of my front yard and next door to me and to the right of me. I think there's other ideas we can pursue. I think it's a dangerous precedent that we're pursuing. Thank you.
I'm not going to be commenting about everybody's thing, but I want to make a couple things again really clear. The 25 years. Yes, 25 years ago, the Mello-Roos tax was imposed. Commercial property owners voted on it under an understanding with the city that if we voted it in, there would be homes, houses, along the alley torn down and converted to parking lots. So the commercial property owners and the business owners have been paying this tax for 25 years. Yes, Coach, no house has been torn down. Over the years, a number of other things have, I guess I'll say, popped up and force us to spend that money to do other things. But over those 25 years, over $900,000 of voluntarily paid tax money has been collected from the commercial property owners under the assumption that we would do just this. So I don't think that comment about not tearing one down before is misleading. When you make a comment about 8 spaces, this house would probably generate at least 2 cars on the street. So the concept, when you hear 10 spaces, the theory is there's a net gain of 10 spaces. You may or may not agree with that, but that's how the calculation is. To call it misleading, I don't want to be despair.
This whole thing is very misleading.
All right, that's it. June, please.
Yeah, my name is Jim Lewis. I live in Action Block Park. But I have a business, and I'm very close to business. I'm also a resident, and I know pretty much how it works. Commissioner Lanier, fellow commissioners, I just want to raise a couple of questions personally, as somebody who really desires to help build consensus, collaboration, and come up with new ideas. Yes, this was 25 years ago. A lot can change in 25 years. Finally, it's 25 years, we're actually seeing something done with the, possibly done with the funds. But in that time, things can change, like I said. A couple questions would be, number one, has either the commission or the parking commission or the city done a pro forma on the income, the net revenue, on either the residents or 10 years or parking lot? That would be a question I would have for the commission or the city. I think that's very important for the, for people to know what the revenue is coming into the city. Number two would be, again, I agree with the aspect of tearing down something that is not lighted. I know it's not eminent domain, we're not talking about that. Anybody could buy it, like you said, anybody could buy it and go through the process of turning it into a parking lot. they would have to deal with this personally rather than you all as commissioners. I would like to discuss more two things. One is people don't understand that the viable options, why they don't work. And after talking to businesses and researching myself, if a business even encourages an employee to use a shuttle, they become liable for workers' comp, general liability, etc. Is that something that the Parking Commission and the fund that have been raised over 25 years look into mitigating the cost of that insurance and provide waivers to businesses to not only encourage but mandate employee parking at the shore? Just ideas. Please don't shake your head yet. This is green light. These are ideas.
It's an expensive
one. Okay. Chairman. The other thing is, I've heard people talk about a bus going up and down the shore. I don't think that's think about a Disney tram. Look at the options that you could have for the businesses to advertise, recordings, updates, provide maps of the shore stores. There are opportunities here that both the Parking Commission and the Belmont Shore Business Association could really look at as avenues for revenue and curing part of our parking problems. And those are a couple ideas that I think I would look at if I were in your shoes. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
My name is Gail Mutke. I live at 207 Laverne. I've been there for 42 years. I've had many good neighbors at 205, and I would love to see neighbors there again. I'm not going to speak to my personal issues because it should be very obvious to any of you who have a house and would not like a parking lot next to your house. So beyond that, we have given Jim Fisk a petition that has 41 of the 48 homes on Laverne. 85% of the residents on our street are opposed to this. Even the people at the other end who really don't feel like it, I mean, I don't see how it's going to impact them so much, but they feel strongly about our neighborhoods. I walk the shore, and I realize that the houses that have gone to parking lots in the past were not through Mellow Roos. Nonetheless, 34 houses became parking lots over the years. And it seems to me that the residents have given up quite a bit over the years to have those 34 houses converted to parking. So obviously, I think we've done our bit. You say that you'll look into working with the businesses to let people park after hours, after business hours, on their lots. I think that's a very good solution, and I know several parking places will come available due to that, especially in the evening hours. But they have to be posted as such. Somebody says that you get to, that you allow people on your to park in your lot on Glendora after hours. It's not posted such. It says you will be towed away if you park here. Chase Bank, however, in their parking lot has very nicely written it out clearly. What hours during the day you can park, what days, Sundays and holidays you can park because the bank is closed. If the public and or private lots were marked so that people knew they could park there after hours, I think that would be part of the a very helpful thing. I'm concerned a little bit about this this $680,000 or something from a bond issue. I guess this is the Mellow Roos money that needs to be spent by year's end. Is this what's pushing this right now? That you have money you got to spend? I'd like an answer on that. I don't know if you can answer that at this minute, but I'm concerned that that's why something's being pushed through.
Anybody else want to understand that?
Sure. Yeah.
Real simple scenario. Almost a little over 4 years ago, in 2009, by the way, I stopped here, nine. In 2009, we did a bond issue for $3,700,000. That bond issue was to do at least two projects at the time. One was our alley resurfacing project, where you may remember 4 years ago, we tore up all the commercial alleys and we repaved them new concrete. At the same time, our main lots on the south side of 2nd Street were resurfaced, restriped, some new landscaping, a bunch of other improvements. We built the trash enclosures that are on those lots at that time. We also, at that time, acquired the Park Avenue parking lot. It's behind the big brick building on the corner of Park and 2nd, southwest corner. That was a parking lot that was not tied to any particular business. It wasn't part of somebody's parking requirement. It was just a parking lot that existed there long before there was ever a parking ordinance. In fact, my suspicion is no homes were ever taken down in that particular area. It's always been a parking lot. But the owner of that lot had the right to develop it or sell it to somebody to develop it. And it's zoned R2, so we were looking at losing 21, 22 parking spaces and gaining, you know, 4 townhomes or something. Parking Commission stepped up and we did those 2 projects. Well, we did a bond issue of $3,700,000. At the end of those projects, because we managed our money well, we had $680,000 left. Bond rules require that if you don't spend those proceeds within 5 years, they need to be paid down on the debt. Now, that's not a horrible scenario. It reduces our debt. That's a good thing. But the flip side of that is bond financing has a bunch of administrative costs up front. So if we were to have another project that would come along in the future, after we paid that money down, we would incur those administrative expenses all over again. So it's really not the most efficient way to do it. It would be much better, much more cost effective to spend that money this year and not pay it down on the bond. Especially if we can spend it in a manner that actually does, for the first time since I've been on this commission, and I think first time since the Melrose was enacted, actually create new parking, not just preserve parking or shift spaces around, but actually create new parking. Anyway,
you created new parking by getting rid of curb cuts, things like that, but this is something outside of that, where it's actually brand new spaces.
Let me continue. So the story behind that $680,000 is, yes, it's important to try to spend it this year. We save money if we do. And that's the end of the story. Okay, so if you want to continue.
Okay, sounds like you're trying to be very careful with your money, and I appreciate that. But I don't think $80,000 of space is using your money wisely. Mm-hmm. We just have to look at issues.
Your time is up.
All right.
If she has anything further to say, you can give up some of my time for her. So I think that's the most important person here.
Everybody's in.
Hi, again, my name is Victoria, 209 Vern. We have the pleasure of living next door to Gail and Alan Mudkey, and my husband, Dave Corradi, emailed Councilman DeLong and the mayor and the city manager. He wasn't able to come today because he had to be at work. But I do not want to repeat what everyone else is saying, but we do strongly oppose any parking lot being built next to Gail and Alan's home. And I did have a question. I wanted to find out, have you considered demolishing and creating a parking lot on any of the commercial properties that don't get used or turn over quickly, like Row Restaurant or any others? That's something I think that should be considered, because that would be more convenient parking for visitors. Another idea that I've seen in other areas, I don't know if anyone's been to the El Paseo Shopping District in Palm Desert, but their business district has complimentary valet, security, and electric golf carts. So there are other options. I think the money could be redirected to help alleviate the problem. Thank you.
My name is Donald Dane. I lived at 182 St. Joseph for 50 years. I have a business on the street which has been going for 20 years. And I come to you to tell you that unless you attack zoning and control restaurants, the problem that you're trying to solve is not going to be solved. This is just a wart that you're picking off somebody's rear. It's not going to help. It's really not. I've watched for 50 years the same number of parking places with a few changes sit there. And I've also watched restaurants and all kinds of new things be brought into the community that have greatly expanded the need for parking. Unless you stop the flow in, you're not going to be able to solve the problem. It's just not going to work. I've been to this meeting several times over the 50 years, and I've heard people say this is the solution. There is no solution. You all have to recognize that. You have to figure out what's best. And what's best is not. I don't know these people that are going to have their house taken, but I live next to what is a potential parking, and I can identify with the pain that they're going to suffer and the mess that I have to put up with on my property one place down. It's not just a simple thing to take the lot. What you're doing is you're changing the lives of people for the worse, and you're not going to gain anything. Six parking lots, eight parking lots, it's not going to change. It's good for you. So I suggest that you really attack zoning. That Mexican restaurant that came in here with, what, 100 and some seats? That's just obscene. That wiped out your whole program, brilliant program with the bus. That's just really, you just wiped half of that out by that. And somebody, somewhere, should stop and think about that instead of trying to solve the little pieces at the bottom.
Good morning. I'm Jeff Miller, a 30-year resident of the Shore, and I'm the secretary of the Belmont Shore Residents Association. I want to address the commissioners, but I hope the audience can hear me as well. The thing I wanted to talk about is the parking meter revenue, which is a large source of your income, and I want you to think about what might happen with that revenue. This revenue is used for many good works. You maintain the landscaping, you maintain the clean sidewalks, you empty trash, you maintain the banners that add to the ambiance of the street. That parking meter money, and many people might not know this, is a real deal. The rest of the city doesn't get anything like this. In the rest of the city, parking meter revenue goes to the general fund. But you have a special deal here. You get to use your parking meter revenue for these good works. So think carefully before even thinking about proceeding with this house purchase and having this issue brought up to city council, where I think many of the council members might think about, is it really a good use of parking meter revenue when the city is so strapped for cash to spend upwards, close to $1 million to purchase and develop eight parking places? The city council might just decide that that's not a good thing, and they might take that revenue back from this commission and put it back into the general fund. We would all lose if that happens. So please think about this and reject this idea. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Elizabeth Spates. I'm a resident of Belmont Heights. I wasn't planning to speak today, but since no one else mentioned this consideration, I thought I'd say something. I know usually what we're talking about in situations like this is money on both sides, whether it's for the businesses or the property values, but for me, this is about tearing down a home that represents the beautiful historic architecture of Long Beach. The house was built in 1925. That's when Belmont Shore was a sleepy beach community. And those things matter. I know that you can't put a dollar value on it, but history and aesthetics and architecture from a time when things were built to last, I mean, the house is almost 90 years old. It's in great shape. I just wanted to say that that's also a consideration that residents of Long Beach care about. Thank you.